My last one is sharks.
Oh.
They actually don't make noises. So sharks, we all know them as crazy. We all know them as the apex predator of the ocean. We all know them as Jaws. But sharks actually help the environment.
Yeah.
You can think of sharks as mushrooms. Hello, ocean lovers.
Hello.
Welcome. Yay. Woo.
Welcome.
Welcome. Do we have a special day today? Is there anything going on in the ocean?
I haven't looked.
Oh, we don't know. There could be. You know, there's always, it could be like National Polar Bear Day or Penguin Day or National.
There's probably some sort of national day, but I don't know.
We don't know. Well, today's topic, everyone, for Seamotionals Podcast Episode 3 is going to be animals that help the environment. These are animals that you just kind of trample over in your everyday life as kids or adults, you know, stepping on earthworms or ants or killing fish or fishing, killing birds, hunting, whatever have you. These animals help the environment and their numbers decreasing, it's causing a huge shift in the ecosystem. So we wanted to bring awareness to these animals and make sure you guys know. You can tell your friends, tell your family, tell Uncle Joe to stop hunting. What?
Definitely tell Uncle Joe.
Yeah, just, you know, tell him, Uncle Joe, I don't appreciate you going out hunting earthworms and beavers and ducks.
Oh, yeah, especially the earthworm. Those actually are really important animals.
Mm-hmm. So with that being said, who do you want to start?
Let's start with you, because it's your special day.
My special day. What does that mean?
You're just special today.
Okay, cool. Well, I am glad I'm special today. I will take this special place treatment all the way to the end of the episode. All right, so I'm going to start with earthworms. I mentioned them before. As a kid, I've definitely stepped on a few earthworms in my life. I went fishing with them for sure. They used for fishing bait. I used to go fishing all the time. I used to cut them in half to use, you know, part of the fishing bait. And I didn't realize, like, when you're a kid, like, you know, 6 years old, you know it's something alive, but, like, you don't really care. I guess. I don't know. So it's just really strange to think, you know, there's still people who don't, you know, you see an earthworm, you're like, oh, that's like an insignificant life form, right?
Right.
Like, you just look at it, you're like, what are
you? Yeah, like, it does nothing.
Yeah, it literally is just there. It exists. It dries out in the driveway. Like, but they're actually very important for the environment. It's one of the most important animals for maintaining soil health. They have, like, the secretion that gives water movement, nutrient cycling to dirt. They shift around the dirts. They shift around the different minerals. And they also help decompose organic matter in the soil by moving around and shifting different things around. They are great for fungi development and fungi growth so that forests enter a cycle of, you know, cycle of growth.
Mm-hmm.
They're very interesting animals. I didn't really think about those aspects of how they lived and what they did for the soil. They're so arguably important for the soil.
Yeah, so they make our food healthier because we need like good, rich soil to get into the foods that we eat.
Exactly.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they're just slippery good guys.
That should be the beginning of the podcast. They're just slippery good guys.
Earthworms are just slippery good guys. They're on our side. And if you think about it, like, I don't know, I have a new appreciation for them. I think they're cute now. I look at them like, oh.
Have you seen one recently?
Yes, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it was dead, dried out in the road. Yeah.
Okay. It's hot out there.
Yeah, it's Florida.
I wonder how long they live.
I don't know. I have not a clue. I don't know. That's what earthworms do.
Thank you, earthworms, for helping our earth. That's why I guess they're called earthworms, right? Well, they also live in the earth, but they do a lot of things.
Yeah, there's other types of worms out there, like aquatic worms. Big. Have you ever seen the big worms down in South America? They're like 12 feet long. I don't know what those contribute. I'm sure there's worms that contribute to coral reefs, worms that contribute to swamps. Earthworms contribute to soil health.
Yeah. And so do ants, and that's the next animal.
Whoa,
here.
Really?
And did you know that there's over 12,000 species of ants? I thought there was like 5. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, you kind of see the same ones all the time. 12,000 different species.
Dang. I thought there was maybe like, you know, 20, but
there's a lot. But they do a similar thing that the earthworms do. They aid in decomposition, and when the ants dig tunnels, they move the soil around and recycle nutrients. So they're also just helping to bring nutrients into the soil, which help, you know, all the plants grow and also, you know, give all the nutrients to the food that we eat. And they also help reduce the use of chemical fertilizers. There was a study in 2011 that concluded that in dry climates, ants and termites increased wheat crop yields by 36%, which is a lot.
Hmm.
So that's pretty crazy.
Go ants.
They also transport seeds. And this is what a lot of the animals, I think, do, just transporting seeds and allowing plants to, like, grow all around, you know, distances.
Yeah, ants, I feel like, love to just take things. I don't even know if they're going to eat it. They'll take like a, you know, they'll come in your home with like a train of ants, take some peanuts you left on the floor, bring it back to their nest, and they're like, whoa, Tom, that's a big peanut. What are you going to do with it? I don't know, man. Should I eat it? I don't know. I think you should give it to the queen. You know, I don't know what we're going to do here. I don't know. Like, they just take the most random of things. I remember when I was a kid, I saw an ant just taking a button.
Poor thing, probably tried to eat it later. And like, brought home dinner, whole family, and just a button. Aww.
Yeah. Or let's see, you know, gave us to the queen or something.
Maybe. Maybe.
Now the queen's button.
It's like a little royal bed.
A royal bed.
It would fit her. A nice round bed.
Yeah, she gets to sit on it. I always thought ants were cool. I've had a new respect for them as I get older. Because they hustle. They hustle real hard out there in the world.
But they inspire you.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think about it, though, as a kid. And even sometimes as an adult, you know, everyone's to blame. You don't think about it, really. You just kind of step over bugs. But they're so useful.
I mean, we can't see everything, especially an ant.
Mm.
But if we can avoid it, you might as well.
Mm. What I recommend to do for people that Kira actually showed me and taught me.
The bug catcher.
Yeah, the bug catcher. So where'd you get it?
I got it on Amazon, and it's actually a kid's toy. We can link the product information.
Yeah, let's link it.
It's a must buy.
It's actually, I mean, you said you had fun with it. I didn't understand it until I started using it. It is fun. You're kind of like a little mini bug catcher trying to get these bugs, and then there's a magnifying glass on it so you can actually zoom in and see the bug. And, you know, you see them up close, you're like, oh, wow, he looks kind of cute.
Yeah, it's perfect, too. You don't have to kill bugs in your house. You just catch them, and then you let them outside.
Mm.
And then they go on from there. And they're like, what just happened?
Whoa, what a ride.
I've caught a lot of bugs in there, and I can't remember why I bought it in the first place, but all the reviews talk about catching bugs, like, as adults. Like, it's a kid's toy, but all the reviews are like, this is the best bug catcher to get bugs out of my house. Like, it wasn't meant for that, but... That's what people are using it for, because they have other bug catchers out there, but that one just works well.
Yeah.
And it's cool that you can see the bug close up.
Mm-hmm.
I like to look at them.
That's really cool.
It's always exciting.
All right. So I'm going to take a shift into a deep dive into the ocean now for this next animal. And it's about an octopi.
An octopus.
So. I'm fairly convinced these animals are from space. You cannot change my mind. I think they are aliens that have come from space. Their DNA is not shared with, like, anything else in the world, pretty much. But they could potentially be the smartest animals in the world. Where, you know, people think that they're not. But I think they're definitely one of the smartest animals in the world. I mean, they solve puzzles just like monkeys.
Hmm.
Yeah, so they can solve shape puzzles, they can escape from things, like, they're very intelligent. So not only are they intelligent, but they also have found a way to use tools that we leave in the ocean. So they will take anything that we have littered into the ocean or dropped into the ocean, and they use them as homes, they use them as weapons, and other things. They have been known to wear things.
I imagine seeing a little octopus with, like, a necklace on.
Yeah, it's mostly not, like, a necklace. Like, I think I've seen one with a pan on its head, but they use them as homes. Like, so they'll have, you know, different metals and other plastics, like, around them, and, like, they kind of, like, blend into it with their home, and they've been seen using different types of metals and plastics as weapons, like metal pipes and glass. And it's really scary to think about octopuses, like, using these materials as weapons against other creatures, you know. You could say that they're actually recyclers. So what they do is they take the trash that are floating around through the ocean, ooh, a shiny, and then they bring it to their home and they leave it there. You know, their homes consist of coral reefs that are kind of cave-like, and so it'd be really hard for the plastics and the metals and the other trash to escape out of that, you know, without the ocean current, because the current can't really get in the cave. So they're essentially saving the ocean, like picking the trash and bringing it into their dens.
I imagine, like, this family of octopus has this, like, giant house with all this stuff, and they're just like, have this luxury house.
You could say octopuses are sort of like Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
She loves collecting human stuff.
The thingamabob.
She's got plenty.
Yeah, but she does want more.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the octopuses want more too. So, yeah, I never knew that about octopuses, but they love human stuff. They love taking our stuff. It must remind them of their alien homeworld.
Aww. I love them. They're so cute.
So one creature's trash is another creature's treasure.
Yep. Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you stories about how smart they are, but that's not really what this is about.
So my next one on here is actually fish in general.
Mm.
But the way that they help is kind of funny. Not funny, but they're not like... They're not doing, I guess none of the animals are, besides the octopus maybe, are doing it like knowingly that they're helping. They're just like instinctively they do these things. And for fish, it basically, they're helping by their poop. Like, they're basically, it says that fish feces are one of the most efficient mechanisms for long-term carbon storage. And they can lock carbon away for 600 years. But due to, like, overfishing, the number of fish has decreased, which is impacting the carbon being stored
carbon's like the building block of life, essentially.
I'm just confused, like how that's helping.
I guess it's
the storage. What is that doing?
I guess what you could say is that they lock up the carbon, and if it's good for 600 years, that is essential for more life in the ocean to flourish, because it just it's really hard to word it. Like, how do you know, it's almost like the fertilizer for poop, you know, when you farm. Imagine having a cow poop and then you want to use it as fertilizer, but you're like, well, I'll just let my grandchildren's grandchildren's grandchildren use it in 300 years.
So it basically is like helping the things to grow, mm-hmm. like maybe more like plants to grow.
It's probably keeping like coral reefs vibrant, like that sort of thing. Yeah,
that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So if it doesn't go away, it's good for 600 years. Imagine a little poop, you know, floating around the ocean. 400 years, it finds something to use.
Yeah.
I guess you could use that, and the carbon building blocks will sift around the ocean water. It's kind of gross to talk about.
Yeah, apparently that's really important. Okay, so the next one is one of my favorite animals ever, which is, what's my favorite animal? Don't look, you just look.
No, I didn't.
Did you not?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Elephants. Yes.
Are you sure you didn't look?
No, I promise.
I love elephants. They're just...
I can't even see that, actually.
Right? It's like in red right here. So elephants, during times of drought, they can help because they'll dig up dry water beds, creating watering holes. So if it's dry, they can, you know, dig up the ground and bring more water up for them and other animals to drink from.
Or like in movies where there's like watering holes where there's a bunch of animals all together in like a watering hole and they're all talking.
I guess so.
And then the lions come and everyone's like, hightail it out of there.
Hi what?
Hightail. Get it? Hightail, because elephants have a hightail.
Okay. So I wanted to talk about African elephants specifically, and which are African elephants are the smallest of the three species of elephants. And African forest elephants, they live in the rainforest and they're known as the gardeners of the Congo. And they go in the jungle and search for food. And as they're foraging for seeds and fruits and foods, they stomp on all the bushes and the trees and plants, which actually like somehow make the trees like grow faster and become more established. And these trees like sequester more carbon dioxide from the air than smaller plants. So much so that each elephant aids in capturing over 9,000 tons of CO2 in its lifetime. Mm. And there was someone who found that in total, African elephants are providing $150 billion worth of carbon capture every year. So what they're doing by just like going in the forest and finding foods is they're like helping to capture more carbon dioxide, which is crazy. You wouldn't think stomping on
throwing a tantrum is helping the environment.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, right?
Yeah, that's actually interesting. You know, it seems like a lot of animals have a carbon footprint. Get it? Carbon footprint, because they're stepping on the... I'm trying to puns.
Okay.
I'm trying puns. It didn't work, did it?
I guess for elephants, it makes sense.
Yeah. It makes sense for the next one I have to bring up, too. All right, so the next animal I want to talk about, which you've probably never seen in your life, actually.
Okay.
Because they're a northern animal only.
What is it?
It's a beaver.
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 I used to have the beaver in a can. Yeah, there's like this can, and you open it, like it has a little like can opener thing, and there's like a little beaver inside.
What?
Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
It's a cute toy.
I guess when you can't see the real thing, then beaver in a can is what you want.
I don't think I've seen a beaver in the wild.
You wouldn't hear.
Well?
Do you know what they do in the wild?
No. Please tell me.
They build dams.
Dam.
Oh. That was worse than the hightail one. Yeah, so they build dams, and You know, they do this in any body of water up north. Ponds, lakes, rivers, streams, crooks, brooks, estuaries, anything really that they can put together sticks and make a dam. And what they do when they do this is they keep the soil moist, they keep green vegetation alive. They actually clean the environment from dead trees, dead sticks, dead things, sort of like fungi are doing, but they put them in their nest. So they actually clear the forests out and harvest it, and they make a dam to stop the water, and that's how beavers kind of have like their nest.
Is that why they build them? Just so they can like sit on them? Like, why do they build them?
Yeah, that's their homes.
So weird. Why wouldn't they just build it outside the water?
I'd ask a beaver. I don't know.
Let me make a really hard way to have a nest, like
yeah,
in the water to stop the stream.
So what else happens with that is they actually prevent forest fires.
How?
So their nests have, I think, immense levels of carbon emission.
How?
Like 470,000 tons a year of just carbon emission from foods, pooping, living, you know, living expenses. I don't know. They create carbon in there, and it actually prevents wildfires with the amounts of water that they help to kind of, the way that they stop the water flow and continue the water flow going. What it does is it helps prevent water. Fire and wildfires in the environment, which is actually responsible. I think beavers a year save 10 to 20% of CO2 emissions into the atmosphere every year from beaver dams.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because of their carbon emission and their water flow. So they're pretty actually amazing creatures, like really amazing creatures. Hmm. And they also combat climate change. They have massive amounts of climate change for the environment, and an increase in temperatures have caused beavers to move to places more north. So we're actually seeing a decrease in beavers in lower, I guess you could say like lower U.S. I don't think they go as far as Carolinas, but they're moving out of places like PA and that sort of thing, and kind of migrating towards Canada more. Beavers are also threatened. They're on the threatened list, and many people see beavers and their dams as pests on their property, and so they go out of their way to kill beavers and shoot them and trap them and kill them, and I don't like that.
Mm.
Beavers are cute. And
they're very cute.
I think that you should not hunt beavers and let them have their little home. You know, he doesn't know he's building on your property, so let him be on your property is what I'm saying, right?
I think so.
What'd the little beaver do to you?
I would be happy if they were on my property.
Right?
Go out there every day and just watch them be cute.
Yeah.
Give them to little babies. And
mm-hmm.
I would love it.
So that's what they do for the environment. I never knew that. I knew they build dams. I didn't know really the responsibility that the dams, you know, upheld through the environment. So I thought it was cool. They're global climate change fighters.
Without even knowing.
Yep.
Wow, we should give them a badge.
A beaver badge.
A beaver badge. And the next one is my second favorite animal. Anthony, what is it? You probably already saw it. And it's not really my second.
No, I don't actually
know. It's not really my second favorite animal. I don't know if I have a second.
Koalas.
No, but I do love this sloth animal, and it's more like an insect.
Oh, I don't know then.
Butterfly.
Oh, they are pretty.
I love them. So they also help the environment. One of the things that they do is they help to pollinate, like just like bees.
Oh, like bees.
So bees actually like do more, but butterflies are another one that maybe we don't recognize as much, but they also help to pollinate and
I mean, I always see butterflies out there hustling.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there on the flowers.
Yeah, they're working 9 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Or, sorry, 9 to 5. 9 to 10 is 1 hour work. Ah, I pollinated for an hour. I'm good. Butterfly, butterfly, flying through
really good for
the
your
tree
garden. So they garden, like, that attract butterflies, they also bring, like, native bees and birds to the garden. So they play a role in biodiversity. And they're also...
Hear that? Butterflies are diverse.
I have a terrible memory.
Go-go power pollinators. Butterflies flying through the sky. Go-go power pollination. You like my butterfly song?
Yeah.
I want to make a little animation of that. Go-go power pollinate.
All right.
My last one is sharks.
Oh. They growl.
They actually don't make noises. So sharks, we all know them as crazy. We all know them as the apex predator of the ocean. We all know them as Jaws. But sharks actually help the environment.
Yeah.
You can think of sharks as mushrooms. They're the mushrooms of the ocean.
How?
So much like vultures and condors and mushrooms and fun guys, sharks are also fun guys to be around. Because sharks not only are crazy predators, but we always think of sharks as the kind of apex predator that goes out like a lion and just raw and, you know, eats, you know, chases after their prey and kills it and, you know, scores victory. But sharks would prefer a sick and weak prey. So they actually go out and they look for fish that have diseases and are sick, and diseases very much that could actually threaten the entire ecosystem of, you know, a reef or even a whole species of fish. And they nip it in the butt. They kill that fish. They eat it. Sharks are amazing. They have pretty much the most insane physiology, I think is the word, of any creature. They do not get sick, like, ever. They could eat a diseased fish and be fine.
Oh, wow.
They have such an ancient genotype, but just an ancient physiology that they don't get sick from the modern diseases and viruses that are plaguing the world today, because they have such, like, ancient makeup. You know, sharks are from 400 million years ago. Like 300 something million years before dinosaurs. So they've been around so long, they just, like, don't care about anything.
Their bodies are like, nope, you're not getting me.
Yeah. So they just eat sick and diseased fish and actually save fish populations.
Mm.
So what I wanted to bring up then with that, with sharks, is we should stop hunting sharks.
Leave the sharks be so they can eat the bad thing.
I'm going to put the shark hunt on blast right now that's happening off the coast of Florida. There's a shark hunt going on July 9th, hosted by a few different hands, a few different companies and organizations, one of which being FWC is allowing this. They're a regulation or organization. They regulate the hunting industry pretty much. So I've always looked at them as like, well, you're allowing it to happen, but you're still regulating it. But now they're involved in this shark hunt. There's a few other companies, a few other organizations. Shout out to the individuals actually taking place and paying money for this shark hunt. Not happy with you guys. Not happy.
Mm-mm.
And hear this, everyone. You get prize money for catching the biggest shark. That's just rude. That was my last one, was sharks. They're amazing. They're awesome. All the animals we've covered today are amazing and awesome. I definitely think twice before you step on an ant or eat some fish. And some honorable mentions that were not mentioned today are bees. Bees.
We mentioned them.
Yeah, a little bit. Bees help the environment by pollinating. Narwhals is on the list. Is an honorable mention. Definitely check them out. They help scientists discover threats and new theories about global warming. What else was it? Birds. Birds are just like octopus, not as much, but they do recycle. They like to bring plastics and aluminum and tin into their nests, which helps keep that away from the actual outside environment. What else is there? There was a few more, I think. Oh, bats.
Bats are actually really cool.
We put pesticides in our vegetables and fruits, and that's to keep bugs away from eating our fruits. But pesticides are killing us, and bats are actually natural pesticides. They just eat bugs around farms, and they've had a lot of decreasing numbers because people are killing them because they don't want bats around. I think bats are the darndest, cutest, stinking things that you ever did look at. So I think we should stop killing them. I think that we should start putting bats around our farms to be natural pesticides. Yeah, guys, just appreciate the animals around you. Take it all in.
And they're cute. And they make us happy.
Exactly.
Especially butterflies.
Yes.
And elephants and bats. All of them, really. Mm-hmm. Even the earthworms.
Even the earthworms.
We love them.
All right.
Goodbye, everybody. We're diving out.